SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All righty, are we live? Yes, we are. Oh my gosh. Today, what a topic. It's such a trendy topic, and it's got nothing to do with fashion. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the economic trends, but it does have something to do with our game of dice.
Welcome to the Color Up Podcast. Whether you're a seasoned player or a beginner eager to step up to the table, this is your lucky podcast that's all about the thrill and strategy of the casino world. I'm your host, Jeremy. With me is Jim the Professor. Let's get rolling. Welcome back, everyone, and hey, thanks for joining me, Jim. How are you this week?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. I've got you turned down in my ears a little bit. I just spent an hour trying to fix the audio, and guess what? We still haven't fixed it yet.
Well, so, it's only been 3 months.
Yeah, it's only 3 months, right? And then I think I got it, and then I don't. And I definitely found out there's something to do with routing. I don't know why we're talking about this, but hey, this is the podcast, so this is important. And this is what I'm talking about, Jim, for a moment.
Quality
so
stuff.
Just hang in there with me. So patience. I've got a digital soundboard that's routing the musics and sound and everything, and then I'm going through some sort of digital software on my computer, and then my computer has its own settings. So what I did find out is your signal is being sent directly out. So no matter if I lower or raise the volume and the sliders on the soundboard, it's not affecting you. It can affect me, but it doesn't affect anything out. And so that's why a lot of times you sound louder, because your signal is going straight out, whereas my signal is being lowered or controlled through the mixer. So that's the craziness of podcasting. And I'm going to, I don't know. It's frustrating, but hopefully you can bear with us, and maybe by next week I'll actually get some help and can get things done.
and yes, I will admit that I am a loud talker, but B, it's not my fault.
No, it is not. He just has a mic, and his signal comes to me. I have all the control, and I am doing a very poor job of it. So anyway, that being out of the way, so official junk.
Disclaimer
for the podcast. So bear with us, and appreciate you guys out there listening. If you do stick around to the very end, we will do what we always do, which is the monster roll, and that's where we get to everyone's questions. If we don't see you, I mean, we see your comments coming in now, but if we, you know, definitely at the end, we'll get to as many as we can. So how was your past week, Jim?
Pretty uneventful. I'm a teacher in summer. It's my last week, and just a uneventful week. I worked a couple days, or at least one day, and just not doing much. But Jeremy, did I hear correctly that your birthday was just a couple days ago?
Yeah, that is correct.
Oh my gosh.
See, the 26th, so that would have been, I don't know what day of the week that was, Thursday, Friday?
Okay.
A few days ago.
What about the celebration?
Celebration here. My wife got me some bookends.
Oh, there you go.
The only problem is the dice are wrong. So, you know, all sides have to equal 7.
Right.
And so whoever made these, they didn't know anything about dice. And so all sides do not equal 7. So, but other than that, they're very cool. There's 2 of them, but they're bookends.
Yeah, I like the color.
Yeah, kind of like a faded white. But yeah, so I got some bookends for my birthday, and we went out to dinner.
Mm-hmm. Well, happy 37th birthday or whatever it is.
46. I had to do the math and figure it out, but my wife let me know it was 46 officially. So I'm almost there. I'm almost to half a century.
Okay.
Experience, I guess they call it.
Yes. That's what they call it.
So I guess that's what I did this week.
Okay. Anything else?
No, not really. No gambling. No, just
you put out a couple of videos again.
Yeah, just as normal, putting out videos, and things are going well there. And that's all about it.
Yeah, mine was uneventful too. So, and don't forget, Jeremy, we're powered by Sports Grid.
We are powered by Sports Grid. So if you want to watch me on television, sportsgrid.tv or .com, you can check out all the different TV platforms that we are on. All right. Well, let's talk. We said we're going to talk about trends today.
Yes.
And I know you've done a lot of research on trends.
A lot of research, a lot of belly buttons and opinions, but the most of the scholars, not most, just all real scholars, when you're talking about trends in gambling,
yes,
like at a craps table, like if you're sitting there writing down the numbers,
yes,
the academics are saying it's
not a thing.
Not a thing at
wait, but I titled our podcast something like How You Win With Trends. So there's got to be a way to win with trends. I mean, this would be the end of the discussion if you're just telling me, well, you can't win with trends.
Well, I think it's like a lot of other things. Maybe if you teach people how to win with trends, then you might be able to make well, a couple bucks.
Maybe if you're teaching people, then you can charge them and you're making money. So, okay. So maybe let's back up and tell me what a trend is. I guess we're just related to gambling because that's what we're talking about here. So what would be a trend? Let's describe that for us.
So like the most people who are at the table, whether it be with whatever, they're looking at it and say, and it goes back to that Monte Carlo effect. You know, it's 27 times it's been the black on the roulette wheel. And then everybody loads up on the red because the red is due, and they do it and it's black another bunch more times. And because of that, it all goes back to that gambler's fallacy. And it goes back that each individual roll of the die is an independent event. The dice have no memory. The ball on the roulette wheel has no memory. And what it is we're looking at it through a very small little lens. And what they're saying is you can't extrapolate and predict what is actually at the trend because things happen in random anyway. So the basic premise is that you can either look and record the number of times that you're at the table, and then you say, oh, well, there's been a lot of horn numbers, let's say,
right,
or there's been a lot of hard ways or whatever. And yes, you can acknowledge that, but that has no bearing whatsoever on what is going to be happening with the next roll of the die.
Yeah. We talk about hot tables, cold tables, and there are so many comments that I get that kind of talk about that. And they're like, well, especially when they watch my video, they're like, well, I mean, why didn't you do this? Because you can, obviously, you would have, you can see that you were on a hot table, so you should have switched things up. But for one, it's a little bit easier once you see the rolls and the results. But yeah, we really, when I talk about hot and cold, I'm really talking about the past. So, because like you said, it's been hot, right? Like if you hit 5 points out of, 12 rolls, you're on a hot table, I guess you can describe the past. But, if you just assume that that's going to keep happening, I guess you know what they say when you assume.
Yes. And a trend, it's a trend is a general direction of the way something is moving. It could be moving up. If it's a graph, it could be moving down. It could be moving horizontally. That's a visual thing for a podcast, but trends can be moving up. They can be moving down or staying the same.
So there are ways. So I do say that, you can't, the past has no, doesn't affect the future. So, I mean, that seems like it's common sense. So writing down numbers doesn't really help, I wouldn't think, but I think there is ways. And I think I've shown a couple strategies where you could kind of follow the trend. I think some of them are kind of even named that where, like, let's say you're just betting on the pass line. And every time it wins, you progress your bet up a little bit. So maybe one to two and three. So obviously, if you start and then it wins and you go to two, you double your bet and then it wins again, you go to three, you're following a trend because it's working for you. But and then the very next roll could be a seven and then you lose. And then maybe you say, well, now I'll switch to the don't. And then someone actually, instead of the don't winning, then the pass line wins. Well, now the trend switched again and you lost. But if you stayed on the don't and then a don't won and you doubled your bet and the don't won again, I guess you can kind of follow a trend that way. But you're still following a trend. You're not you can't because that's what we all want. We want to look at a trend and be able to predict the future.
Yeah, it's but my thing is, and the academics are going to say that you're looking at such a small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just, I mean, these the data is like flipping the coin. 10 heads in a row is a tails do? No, it might be another 10 times in a row before you roll heads. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about infinite numbers and probability and these big giant numbers, there you just can't. It's too small a sample size.
Yeah, sure. You zoom out, 20 red rolls on roulette is nothing. It's 20.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But after you see 6 or 7 and you just start betting it, you go, oh, well, there's been 6 or 7. I will just hop on and start betting a red, and it keeps winning for another 13. I guess you kind of took advantage of a trend. But you never know. It's still chance, right? Because the very next roll could go black and then you lose. So the problem is like putting your money down and no, you know what I mean? Like that's mm-hmm. that's where the problem is. Is like, well, the trend is red, so I'm gonna bet red, but it doesn't matter because the next roll
there's no connection on that. And it's again, it's too short a period, it's too small a sample size. And knowing, you know, again, you can't say, hey, the trend is to pass, you know, the hit the point, or the trend mm-hmm. is the no pass, because every one is its own role. It's independent and it's randomness. And mm-hmm. that is it, 100% on that one. But again, say there is a trend, mm-hmm. you know, we could segue in the list. Say if you're looking at a little small sample size, how does it affect your betting? I mean, what can you do with this knowledge? And I've been at tables where people are writing down everything and this and that. I don't know.
I think to a degree, you probably, although the next roll could go the opposite way, I think you could take advantage of it. You know, if we stick to craps, we're kind of like pressing your bets, right? So for me, I always talk about, whatever you invest on the table, if it's $50, $100, whatever it is, you get your money back. And then after that, I prefer to press my bets.
Okay.
And so obviously, if I'm pressing my bets, I'm hoping to be on a trend, right? So if I'm pressing the 6 and 8 and I hit the 6 and 8, I guess I'm in a little miniature trend because it hit and I press it up. So I'm trying to take advantage of that. And then if it hits again, cool, my trend is continued, and I hit and won some money on a pressed up bet, I'll press it a little more. So I think knowing that the next roll could be a 7 and I lose it all, and the trend is over. But I think it's not like knowing that trends exist. It's more of like just understanding it and being in a position that you can – that your luck continues. I mean, it's still because it's random, it's still luck, but it is kind of hard to describe it as a trend. It's still luck, and you're hoping that your luck continues, whether we call it luck or trend or whatever. The fact is, you know, the 6 and 8s are rolling, so we're increasing our bets on it. And I guess that would be how you can kind of take advantage of it. But again, we don't necessarily know it's a trend until we look back and go, oh, well, there has been a couple 6 and 8s out of the last few rolls, so I'm still going to keep pressing my bet. Where the opposite would be where, like, well, there's been a couple 6 and 8s, so take my money down off the table and start, you know, betting don't come bets or something like that, right? That would be like trying to go the opposite of a trend. Like you said earlier, I see 20 red. Do you go black or do you just keep pressing your bets on the red? I mean, there's been 20 red. You should have been winning on the red at some point, right? You would think.
Well, that goes back to, if you can go, there was a date that they had, I think it was 1913. If you go Google that, Monte Carlo effect.
Yeah.
And the casino made a killing that night because I think it was like 16 or 18 or maybe even 20 times in a row it was black. So everybody started piling on the red because the next one has to be because the reds do. And then when that one lost, even more money came up and people were running and just piling money up on the red, and it just kept going. And the casino made a killing that night. So, yeah. But then again, if you were, you know, on the, like you said, if you're on the other side, just kept betting black, maybe that was the trend.
Yeah. It really has like timing, right? Your luck, like where did you enter it? If you bet on black, or let's just stick with craps. If you bet on pass, mm-hmm. and you missed the first two, but you started betting on the third pass and it passed for 10 more times, you're in great shape.
Oh, yeah.
But then the player next to you, he was betting don't the whole time. And he's like, you know what? It's been 8 passes in a row. Time to go to the – that's a trend I'm hopping on. He goes pass, and then it starts going don't pass. And now he's like losing because he keeps betting pass. Well, it's got to come back, and now he keeps losing. So I guess it's kind of like timing. And, you know, it makes me think of the stock market, right? Like if only we knew the timing, right? If only mm-hmm. we would have, you know – taking that $10,000 and put it on, you know, whatever Tesla or Bitcoin or whatever these things are. It's all about timing. So you could get on it now. It's a little more riskier than if we had been able to, we saw in the past and knew mm-hmm. at the time, which we don't. And that's the
with
problem.
With hindsight. Yeah. It's always looking in hindsight. Let me ask you this. Is it possible? You see trends being passed between different shooters at the table? Can it be, you know, hey, I hit 3 points and the next guy hits a couple points and the next one, does that mean it's a hot table or
I certainly don't think so. But I mean, there certainly are players and right. There are a lot of players that believe that, oh, that's a hot shooter. So the trend would be once the dice get back to that person, he's going to do good again. Right. So mm-hmm. there's trends that way. But for me, I don't know this last time in DiceCon, my timing was just bad luck because every time I would bet my normal amount and I kept losing for like, I tried to stick around for 10 players, but sometimes I bailed like at 7 or 8 players. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I got off the table, it happened to me like 3 different times, 3 different sessions. The very next 2 players had 20 rolls and I'm like, oh, I missed out. Mm-hmm. The trend was bad. I mean, I guess the trend was a cold table and I lost money and then I got off and then, you know, so much for the trend because the next 2 shooters were hot. And if I would have known that, I would have stuck around. But so in that aspect, it's difficult to try to guess. I mean, it's a guessing game. So I don't. So trends real, trends not real. It doesn't help you making a decision.
In your opinion, is a long roll a trend? I mean, 20 rolls, is that a trend?
Well, I mean, the average roll is 8.5. So, I mean, I guess if you're above that, if you're at 10, you're on some sort of trend. I think the key is to be in position for that. I think Learn to Play Craps, which is Dealer John and a Holy Roller, he just kind of mentioned something, is like to be prepared for when that 20, that 30 roll does come because they happen every once in a while. We can't predict them, but I don't think it would be a good idea to try to go, well, you know, it's a cold table. So I'm betting a don't strategy. Now it's a hot table and I'm betting a hot strategy. Now it's cold again. And I'll try to bet a cold strategy. Cause you're going to find yourself guessing a lot, but I think if you prepare yourself, and I kind of like the strategies that, like I said, like I mentioned before, that it's kind of like you don't know, but you're in position. Like I said, if you've recouped your money and now the money out there on the table is at no risk to you, you're in position for the big trend, the big roll, I guess. So I don't know if I'd call it a trend, I guess, but in a way, maybe. I don't know. You got me stumped a little bit.
No,
it's certainly not a trim. It's just luck, and the luck lasts a little bit longer. But I do like to be in position for that, because that's how, as a craps player, you're going to win money.
Mm-hmm. So as a side bet player, you would never bet $5 to win the $2 million, but would you ever bet? Do you ever bet the ATS and some of the bonus bets?
Rarely. If I do it, I usually do it just when I'm shooting, because I don't want to be, the guy who throws the all tall small and didn't bet on it. So, and I usually do it as a tip. So I'd always do it like as a two way. So me and the dealer on the all tall small, just by some random chance that Jeremy throws all the numbers. Okay. But as a rule, no, I avoid the center of the table for the most part, and I avoid those side bets and craps.
Now I met a while back. You mentioned that somebody had sent you I had this in the notes, that somebody had sent you recently or somewhat recently a book that was going to be about trends. Did you remember talking about that?
I've had multiple people send me stuff. I mean, they've done tracking and trending. There's information out there. There's websites dedicated to it. There's books dedicated to it. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, they're not millionaires. It's not working out.
Has anybody convinced you about a number of roles?
No way to capitalize on the trends.
Okay.
Just because it's more of like, you just can't predict the future. And that, I think that's what they're trying to do with trends. Yeah.
They're all independent.
Yeah, it's independent roles. So, yeah, if you're in the middle of it, and it's more, we're more, when I'm talking more about, it's essentially like money management, or being, I'm talking about being prepared, or you're having your bets paid for and using, house money, casino money, or no risk on the table. Those are just more of being prepared for in chance that the long roll comes, or being prepared that a new trend starts in your favor. But certainly no, if I'm studying trends and hoping to predict the future, I don't think there's any way, because otherwise I would be, it'd be like, I would save up all my money, mm-hmm. Tens and thousands of dollars, or I'd get a loan and be like, hey, I know a way with a trend to be able to predict, whenever, see a horn, bet a horn, right? That's kind of like a funny trend.
It's a superstition.
Thing, right? Superstition/trend
yeah.
thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I saw a horn, am I willing to bet $1 million that there will be a horn on the next roll?
And the answer
some people
to that
believe
is
it. They're like, well, if you see a horn, you got to bet a horn because it's coming. And really, it doesn't necessarily have to come. It just comes down to dice probability, where there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 numbers are the horn numbers. So there's 6 dice combos out of the 36. So 1 in 6 that it'll roll again. So are you willing to stake $1 million on it? I mean, if the table would let you,
nope.
I'm certainly not, but there are lots of people like, hey man, that is like a miniature trend. If you see a horn, bet a horn, or, see a field, bet a field, or, these type of things. But it's just because we've seen them in the past, right? Oh, okay. And you remember them. Oh, yeah. Every time I see a horn, it's confirmation bias, right? But I guess that is kind of a miniature trend, mm-hmm. a two-roll trend. See a horn, bet a horn. But that's a fun
micro
one
trend.
A lot of people like. Yeah, micro trend.
Micro trend. They crack me up.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the things I was going to ask you here was, what do you think is the minimum number a statistician or somebody would say would be a trend if you were looking at some data? And I watched 3 or 4 podcasts. I read 3 or 4 articles this afternoon.
Do you mean gambling? Or
yeah, for gambling, like rolling the dice or the roulette wheel. What do you think would be the minimum before they could extrapolate, I guess, or do some statistical analysis? What do you think their minimum
trend?
Number one?
Yeah, that's. Well, I don't know. Like, are you talking like a long roll? For instance, the average roll is 8.53 or something. So I would imagine if you double that, if you're at 16 rolls, that's a trend. I don't know. I don't know how
the smallest number I saw and I read was 30.
Okay.
Specifically to gambling. And of course, everybody's got belly buttons and opinions, but 30 was the smallest number. I mean, you can be at a table all day and not see 30,
mm-hmm.
30 rolls.
So, yeah, well, I guess so. I'm learning a little bit about standard deviation. And so if 8.5 is the mean or the average, a lot of people ask me, yeah, but that can't be the average because I see so many short rolls. But if you think about it, 8.5 is the average. That means you're going to see approximately, and you're not, approximately are going to be in the 3-4 range, right? Because you have to have a lot of rolls in the 3-4 range to offset and get to the average. So that means there's going to be some that are 12-15 and, you know, half of them are going to be, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. 12 and 15 and half of them are going to be 3-4 rolls. So yeah, you're going to see a heck of a lot of rolls in the 3-4 range. So I guess that's the standard deviation, you got a lot of 3 rolls, you got a lot of 15, the average is 8. So yeah, I guess it would almost be, you'd have to even get even further beyond the 15. So yeah, maybe 30. That kind of makes sense to me. Because then you're way beyond standard deviation of mm-hmm. the average.
Yeah, so, it's on a big roll like that. But what do you think the skeptics are saying about trends? Like, what are some of the arguments they say about that? Besides, each one is independent.
I don't know. Usually, skeptics are just don't gamble, right?
Yeah, that's a big one. Then you get into some of the other people. They say, "Oh, what about the dice controllers, and can they extend the trend and that kind of stuff?" And you know, do you believe that they can extend the trend?
Yeah, I mean,
hold up the 7. You know,
yeah, obviously that's what they try to do, is to extend the trend. Extend the trend. I should copyright that. Yeah, I guess that's what they're trying to do. Extend their role, extend
the
trend.
And then predicting the trend, when the trend is going to end. I mean, if you're in a trend, when are you? And I know I listened to a really neat one today, and it talked about they talked specifically about craps and the 5 count. Do you want to tell people what the 5 count is?
Yeah, essentially, there's a little part to it. It depends when, you know, there's a come out winner or loser or whatever. But essentially, you're waiting for 5 rolls to happen before you start betting. So mm-hmm.
Why do they do that?
Well, it kind of makes sense and it kind of doesn't make sense to me. So if you're going to have a roll of 15, right? We can all say that a roll of 15 is a good roll.
It's very solid.
Solid roll, 15
Very
rolls,
solid.
Twice the average. To get to 15, you got to at least get to 6.
True.
So if you wait 5 before you start betting, and you start betting on number 6, maybe you're on your way to 15. Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned earlier, there's so many rolls that end in 3-4 rolls. If you wait 5... Now, you didn't bet and you didn't lose on any of those rolls. You're only taking a chance on rolls that have at least cleared that bar. They've at least gotten past that point. So if you start betting on roll six, maybe your chances are higher that you get to 15, because you're definitely getting past 3 or 4. So in that way, it kind of makes sense. But if you really do believe every roll is independent, your count doesn't start 5 rolls ago, it starts right now on your very first bet. So in the next 3, now the problem is your next 3 or 4 rolls, once you start betting, you could lose. And you have to get past roll 6 before you can get to roll 15. So it's like,
yeah, and you're right. And the way I think about it, if you have that, you know, you're taking a 15 roller and you've limited it to 10.
Yeah,
and then like you said, if I say,
yeah, you missed out on the first 5, right?
But you know, how many times, or is it a 3 or 4 roller? Well, how many times is it a 7 or 8 roller, or 8 or 9 roller? And then you basically then 5 minus 8 is 3, or 5 minus 9 is 4. You're still on a 4 or you're still on a short roll table anyway. So I think you've just delayed.
Yeah, no, you've just set your timing.
Yes.
Your starting point. And it doesn't, again, the it doesn't work. It's just luck of the timing, because if you were smart and knew it was going to be 15, you would have started from roll one betting. But if you wait five, now, well, like you said, now you've missed out on five. Sure, you've missed the short rolls, but you've missed the first five rolls of that 15 roll. So I don't know. it's still, to me, it still seems like chance. Although I do a little bit of it, because I talk about I don't work my bets on a new come out roll. And I say that because I say, every long roll, there has to be sevens. So
does there have to be sevens?
Yes. No, not necessarily, man.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. But have you ever seen a 30 roll without a seven?
Probably not.
40 roll? Yeah. 50 roll? Probably not. No, I'm actually going to air a video. Very interesting. I have it proof that dice setting is real. So you might want to check this one out on Monday. No, tomorrow I'm releasing it, 2:22 Pacific time, video evidence that dice setting is real. And it is like a 40 some roller, and the gentleman throws four or five sevens. They just happen to be when the puck's off. So my theory is, if it's a long roll, there's going to be sevens, and the sevens are going to happen when the puck is off. So that's why I don't bet the come out roll, but that's kind of like that same philosophy, I think. I feel like it's a better philosophy than the trends or waiting five count or whatever, but I don't know. The math says no matter what, you got a 1 in 6 chance that seven's gonna roll. So work your bets or don't work your bets, mathematically it doesn't make a difference, but
okay. And then, hey, one of our buddies here, and I don't know if it's gonna mess up the comments on there, it says Mike, 85 Bears, our buddy, says the first roll must be a box number.
Yeah.
Roll of 2, 3, and 4 are counted, and the key roll is 5 must also be a box number.
Yeah, it's not exactly just 5 rolls. There's some rule to it. It's like it has to be a box number, and then the craps numbers don't count or something like that. So you can certainly research it. They've gussied it up a little bit. It's not just 5 rolls. It has some rules to it, but essentially you're waiting, you know, so many rolls before you bet on the shooter.
Now, this is the next one right here is from Brian. Holy Roller Brian, our good buddy. He says, why would either of you two ever follow the puck? Shouldn't you always have your bets working on every roll? And as a come better, I have no choice.
Yeah.
My stuff is always on. Now, I feel like when the 7 does come on the come out, and when I have my odds returned to me, I feel like that's a rebate from the casino. So I feel like I've won, even though it's my own money, I got it back. Especially if I'm lucky enough to get all the box numbers going across, and I had single or double odds on there. Oh my gosh, I feel like
you just forget out of your memory all the 4 come bets that were up there that you lost, huh? You're
just happy to get your odds back. Just like, hey, thank you. You know, it's like getting 2/3 of your money back. So,
we're starting to get questions. I think people probably have a lot of questions, so we can jump to the monster roll unless we've got anything left in this topic. I mean, you have a bottom line on this trends.
Can I tell you what ChatGPT's bottom line?
Yeah, let's hear what AI says.
And again, you can go to AI and check yours. It says, in summary, it's not possible to spot trends or predict the outcome of a roll in craps based on the previous numbers rolled. Each roll is an independent event with its own set of probabilities. And as Stone Cold Steve Austin says, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, because it depends on who's how you feed these AI guys. I mean, if he would have read a lot of the dice controller books, he would have a different opinion.
Oh, they read those too. You can put you can get whatever answer.
So he's deciphered it all and decided.
Yeah. Get whatever answer you want.
I mean, bottom line is, if trends existed in, I mean, I guess it doesn't in stock markets, right? It's a little different of a thing. Stock market is, there's manipulation. There's a lot in the stock market. I mean, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but obviously there's people who kind of track trends and then and do make money off of trends and that sort of thing. But when we're talking about a game of chance, there are no millionaires on the game of chance where you're just, you know, you looked at red or black on the roulette, or you looked at the dice rolls and you go, you know what? It's time to bet big, time to bet big. They just don't exist. So if they did, maybe there'd be some more credence for trends, but, I don't know. Certainly seems mathematically, and then most sane people would say, yeah, it's just the next roll's independent and it's pure luck. So
that's what the computer says.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly do think that you can position your bets and stuff to where you can kind of take advantage of trends if they do happen. But when we say trends, we're just describing the past. We're not predicting the future. So yeah. Anyway, that was a very cool topic, Jim.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.